celebrating Earth Day with clones. This is the Environment Report. I'm Rebecca Williams. Students in northern Michigan are planting clones of ancient sequoias today. Sarah Hoover reports.
There's a grove of sequoias along the shores of Lake Michigan. It's on the site of a former Morton salt factory. Sequoias are not native to Michigan, but this grove has grown in Manistee for more than 65 years when they were brought here from the West Coast. Those trees are going to take another trip, or their clones will. Students who attend Interlochen Arts Academy are planting them on campus along Green Lake. The clones are from Archangel Ancient Tree Archive. David Millark is the group's co-founder. He says they're planting clones of redwoods around the world today.
96% of all of our redwoods have been cut down, butchered, and sold.
Both the Interlochen Center for the Arts and nearby Interlochen State Park have lost many trees recently due to disease and bug infestation. Head park ranger Chris Stark has mixed feelings about the planting. He'd prefer to plant native varieties, such as the white pine. For the Environment Report, I'm Sarah Hoover.
This is the Environment Report. I thought I knew a lot about the Great Lakes until I met Chris Gilchrist. He's the kind of guy you want on your Trivial Pursuit team.
The first millionaire in American history is John Jacob Astor. It's a guy trading beaver pelts from the Great Lakes and sending them to Europe.
Gilchrist is the executive director of the new National Museum of the Great Lakes. It opens this Saturday in Toledo. There's a lot about shipwrecks here, sure, but Gilchrist wants you to know it's much more than that.
We look at it as kind of retrofitting American history to more accurately depict how the Great Lakes impacted the nation as a whole over the past 300 years.
You can spin a century-old ship's wheel, or your kids can try out the bilge pump exhibit and try to keep water out of their boat. First, it'll be cinchy.
And then they'll switch it to a terrible storm, and they won't be able to keep up. And that's, you know, they've opened up a seam in their boat, and they're sinking. And, the terror of watching the water rise in the cargo hold, and you know there's nothing you can do about it.
You know, in case your kids need a little bit more fear in their lives. You can also see the inflatable life raft from the shipwreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. And you can try out the dive simulator to learn about the theories on why the ship sank.
On November 10th, 1975, the bulk freighter Edmund Fitzgerald sank during a severe storm on Lake Superior.
There are 250 artifacts on display in the museum, from the 22-ton propeller on the front lawn to tiny decorative corncob holders from a passenger boat. But the biggest artifact first sailed the Great Lakes in 1911.
Well, you've now just entered the number 2 cargo hold of the Colonel James M. Schoonmaker Museum ship. She was sailing when the other big boat, the Titanic, was launched and met her end in her first voyage.
When the weather's nice, you can climb up on the deck and nose around. Chris Gilchrist says he hopes the museum will make people care a lot more about Great Lakes history and generate money to send his staff archaeologists out to look for more shipwrecks to learn more about history. Just don't expect him to go diving.
I'm actually the only executive director of a maritime museum that gets terribly seasick, and I don't like being on the water.
You can see some photos of the museum on our website, michiganradio.org. That's today's Environment Report. I'm Rebecca Williams.